All of us understand that life is wonderful. But sometimes life is hard, amen? You see, as people of faith, we want to trust God through everything. But sometimes we come up against obstacles, we face temptations, we face trials and barriers, and we wonder, wow, can God get me through this? Can I hold on to Him through this? But I want to tell you, from experience and from what I know in the Word of God, God is enough. And whatever it is you're going through today, God is enough. But over the next several weeks, I want to help build your faith. I want to encourage you. I want to give you a little more foundation to stand on as to why we believe God is enough. What we're going to do is go back and look at some of our Old Testament heroes and see what it was that enabled them to allow God to use them to do great things. But first, let's talk about what's happening in our lives and the problems that we face and why we need God so much. From a personal point, the greatest years of my struggle in my faith were not long after Ginger and I got married. We moved to Mahia, Texas. I was 21. Do we have anybody here that is 20, 21, 22? Anybody in that? Get your hand down, Eleanor. Now, and Ginger was 18. Do we have any 18-year-olds here? Well, she soon turned 19, Cat. That's how young we were. But here's what happened. Just because I had moved there to pastor a church didn't change the fact that we were still newlyweds. And as all of you know, marriage can be hard, can it? If only your spouse understood that you were right all the time. But they don't get it. And you know, and then on top of that, we were in Texas away from Ginger's family in Georgia, and she did not adjust well to that. I would come home every day, and generally she was in tears because she was missing her family. And then on top of that, I was drawing the big salary of $50 a week. Even back then, it wasn't much. And so we had those financial problems that come when you just don't stretch the dollar far enough. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then we started practicing tithing, which when you're only making $50 a week, $5 doesn't seem like that much today, but back then that was a lot of groceries. But in those couple of years that we spent there, you know what we learned? We learned if you trust God and you're obedient to God and you live by the principles He's laid out for you, God is enough. And you will find success because He wants you to be successful. Now, I know that here today, there are some who are struggling with major health issues, some who are struggling with major financial issues, some of you, it's in a relationship. Maybe it's with your children, maybe it's with your spouse, but everything at home is not well. And we understand that if we could just learn what God wants us to do, and be that person that He's created us to be, we'll find that God is enough and God will sustain us through it. He will bring you through it. He never fails. Now today we're going to go back into the Old Testament and look at what I see as the first hero of the faith. His name is Noah. And we're going to talk about Noah and how he is our hero, because God was enough for Noah. Now, actually, I do not know if that's an actual picture of him or not. It's an artist rendering, I think, but I want to tell you a story. Now, most of us know something of Noah. But I want to just take and remind you of a few things, okay? At the point when God calls him to build the ark, he's 500 years old, okay? And you thought some of you were old. He's 500 years old. He lives in a time when evil prevails. Everyone seems to be selfish, they're self-absorbed, and all they want to do is have fun and have pleasure. They don't care about others, and they don't care about God. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? But there was something different about Noah. The Bible says that he had a relationship with God and that he obeyed God. So God, at this point, is fed up with people. He's fed up with their independence, their rebellion, and he's fed up to the point he's prepared to take them out. But then there's Noah. So here's what God does. He says, Noah, I need to talk to you. I've got a little task for you to do for me. Noah says, okay. And he says, Noah, I need to have you build me a boat. Now, I don't think at this point, I don't even certain if he knew what a boat was. He lived in the desert. But if he did know what a boat was, he's probably thinking, okay, does it need to be a John boat, a skiff, a canoe, a kayak? What kind of boat do you need, Lord? And the Lord tells him, first of all, Noah, it's going to be 450 foot long. Do y'all know how long that is? That's a football field and a half. It's going to be 75 feet wide. This sanctuary is 60 feet wide. It's going to be 45 feet tall. That's over two times the height to the peak in this sanctuary. He said you're going to build it out of, and the King James refers to it as gopher wood. It was actually probably a type of cypress. And he said, you're going to build it, and on the inside and outside, you're going to put pitch and tar and sap to take and seal it. It's going to be three decks high. And very important, he said, and on one side, there will be a door. One door. Only one. So, Noah, let's get going. 100 years later, you talk about a task. 100 years later, Noah and his family have completed the ark. God says to him, Noah, it's time. 1 week from today, the rains fall, and the earth opens up, and the floods come. And he says, start gathering in the animals, all of them, two by two. Now, let me help you understand something before we go any further. He did not have on the ark all the animals that we have today. He had all the species that we have today. If you understand anything about the word evolution, there is a what is called microevolution. It is evolution within the species. God didn't have to have a bunch of dogs on board because all the dogs descended from a wolf. Microevolution is within the species. Cats, and he's got one of every species on board. So they gather them all, and then the rains begin to fall. Now, I'm thinking during this building process, all of his neighbors are thinking that Noah is touched in the head a little bit. What do you think? He's building a boat, not just a boat. Man's building a battleship in the desert. I've got to assume in the evenings when they had nothing to do, they just came and watched him and made fun of him. And the kid certainly did. How's it going? How are you going to take it to the ocean? Noah, did you think about this? But when the rains begin to descend and the floods begin to come, I'm suspecting that those people that made fun of him are knocking on the door of that ark, saying, open up to us, let us in. The floods came, the rain descended for 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible says from the highest peak there was over 20 feet of water over it. Noah spent a year in that ark with his family. A year. Thanking God that he made that provision for him. And after a year's time, the ark finally landed on Mount Ararat. They stayed there for a while until the floods descended down further. They came out, and between Shem, Ham, and Japheth, his kids, they began to repopulate the earth. But remember, God put a bow in the sky to remind him, I'll never take out mankind like this again. Noah was a great man of faith. But before we get into the sermon, I need to share something I came up with the other day. This is all I ever need to know. I learned from Noah, okay? Let's go on down and skip that down. All right. All, number one, don't miss the boat. Number two, remember, we're all in the same boat. Number three, plan ahead. Number four, don't listen to your critics. When you're stressed, float a while. You know, speed isn't everything. I heard someone say that the snail and the leopard were both on board the ark. Remember, I like this. Remember, the ark was built by amateurs, the Titanic by professionals. No matter what the storm, God has a rainbow. And the final one, simply, God is enough. God is enough. Our text is this simply, 6:8 in Genesis. Noah found favor in the sight of God. How do we find favor in the sight of God? How does God see us and say, there is someone I want to bless? There is someone I want to bless through. There is someone I want to protect. How do we build our faith that regardless of the storm, we're proclaiming God is enough? When we're facing the end, that we say, God is enough. When we're uncertain how we're going to pay our bills, that God is enough. Let me share three things. First one is this: a strong faith enables us to live faithfully. A strong faith enables us to live faithfully. The scripture verse of this, it was by faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about something that had never, ever happened before. I want you to understand this. For us to be able to proclaim and acknowledge truthfully from the heart that God is enough, we've got to have a strong faith. And as we talk about a strong faith, this needs to be our goal. How do I get strong in my faith? How do I build my faith so that I am trusting God through the storms? So that I am trusting God through the valleys? How do I build my faith to when I lost that person I love the most in the world and God takes them? How does my faith hold on? How does my faith hold on when my boss tells me we're having to let you go? How does our faith hold on through these trials? Let me tell you three things that happened in the life of Noah. First of all, he lived differently. The Bible tells us repeatedly that Noah found favor in the sight of God. You know what that means? God observed something in Noah's life that got his attention. Now, he is living in an evil world. The King James says, the intent of their heart was only evil continually. That means that what the people were doing was seeking pleasure, seeking their desire, and they really didn't care who else it impacted. It was all about them. But Noah was different. He knew there was a God, and he listened to God. He stood out. Now, today, as we observe in our culture, people are becoming a lot more selfish. It's about them, their needs, and their wants. Everyone wants to feel good, have good, party. And yet God says that we are to stand out, that we are to be different. The King James in one of Peter's epistles says that we are to be a peculiar person. Have you ever thought about that? God wants me to be peculiar? He does. But not peculiar because you do something weird to your hair. Not peculiar because you wear strange clothing. But peculiar because you act different than everybody else. You act like there's somebody watching you. You act like others are important. You live differently than the world. Their values are not your values. The second thing, he lived obediently. The Lord says, Noah, build a boat. I would love to have heard that question. What's a boat? And the Lord trying to explain to him. I mean, I've asked people in the church to serve in different capacities, and I've heard them say, well, Pastor, I just don't think I could handle that. How about being asked to build a boat 450 foot long? By the way, he could not pick up the phone and order the lumber. He couldn't plug his power tools into the power pole. It was a monumental task. But one of the things strong faith does, it has you obeying God even when it makes no sense. And there are some things that God may require of you sometimes that make absolutely no sense. The first time I understood tithing, I thought it made no sense. The first time that God asked me to go and apologize to somebody, that I did not think I did anything wrong. Matter of fact, I still today don't think I did anything wrong. But it wasn't my call. God said, go, so I went. Sometimes God will ask us to do things that make no sense to us. But we act obediently. Noah obeyed God. He trusted God. He depended on God. And because of that, he was obedient. I don't know where it is you struggle. I have learned that Satan attacks us all differently. The apostle talks about the sin which doth so easily beset. There are certain temptations that are really hard for you. And your enemy has figured it out. So guess where he aims his big guns? He knows where you struggle. That's where he's going to attack. And that's why you need a strong faith. You need a strong faith that you can, when the storms hit, you can say, God is enough. I will be obedient. God is enough. I will do what he's asked me to do. And I'm not going to listen to everybody else. Having a strong faith means that God is right. and everybody else is wrong. God is enough. The third thing is here, he was faithful because of his consistency. 100 years on the same task. How many people here would have been tempted to throw your hands up and say, I quit? Boy, I would have. I can't tell you how many tasks I've started, got halfway through them, and said, yeah, that's enough. But one that would take your whole life. Sometimes the greatest test that we face is the consistency of doing what God has asked us to do year in and year out and year in and year out. Being obedient to somebody that God has placed over us when we just don't like the way they treat us, but we are being faithful year in and year out. When the test comes sometimes, it's like they keep coming. Have you ever noticed? I've heard people say that they come in threes. Have you heard that? Sometimes they come in fives and sixes too, I'll tell you. There's a health issue, then there's another health issue. Then because of the health issue, you've lost your job. You've lost your job, you don't have a paycheck. Now I don't have a car. Now what? They just keep coming. Relentlessly. Noah never quit. A strong faith clings to God even when we don't understand it. Let me tell you the next point here, number two. A strong faith enables us to receive and be a blessing. Now, I don't know about Noah's children. I don't know if they walked with God or not. That we are never told. But because he walked with God, God was going to spare his family. Noah became a blessing to his family. Now, it might be his children. I want to say his teenage children who were helping him build the ark. His teenage children who were probably 350 years old. They're probably saying, Dad, do you know what people are saying about us? Dad, do you know how stupid we look? But he said, sons, God's going to take care of us. Here's what we have to understand. A strong faith leads to God's blessings. Some people wonder, why isn't God blessing me? You have a weak faith. What are you trusting God for in your life? What are you turning to God for in your life? It is the strong faith that enables us to experience God's blessings. Now, it was obvious when the floods began to come, how's the old song that we taught the kids? The rains came down and the floods go up and the rains came. Now, his kids may have been complaining, but I guarantee you they were scampering onto the ark. And I think at some point in time, some of them said, Dad, thank you. Thank you. But you know what? Maybe you and I, when we get to heaven one day, need to find Noah and say, thank you. Because were it not for him, we would not be here. But you know what is the neat thing about the ark? It is a picture of the coming Christ. It is a picture of what God will one day do through his Son. You see, when the floods came, there was only one means of salvation, and that was the ark. I'm certain people clung to trees and they dog paddled and they did everything they could for a while. But it wasn't enough. The ark had one door and one door only. There was no other way to be saved from the flood. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the only way. I am the only salvation. You see, God wants to bless you. Oh, does He want to bless you? Don't you want to bless your children? Same way God wants to bless you. Let me show you where this thing goes and help you understand it. If you want to have God's blessing, you've got to have a strong faith. But let me show you point number three. If you want to have strong faith, you've got to have spiritual disciplines in your life. Point number three is this. A strong faith is developed. It doesn't come overnight. Spiritual disciplines. And if you're saying, what's a spiritual discipline? Look on the back of your outline. Spiritual disciplines are to the Christian what exercise is to the athlete. Spiritual disciplines are to the student what your studies are. Spiritual disciplines are to the musician what daily practice is. We get stronger and build our faith through daily disciplines. I've listed them for you on the back of your outlines. We're talking about getting into the Word of God. We're talking about praying and spending time with God. We're talking about being faithful and giving back to God. We're talking about being connected with others and having friends that encourage our faith. We're talking about serving others. These are disciplines in our life. And they're disciplines because, again, they're observable. God can see them. These are not attitudes. The 11th chapter of Hebrews talks about the faith of Noah. And I have a scripture verse here for you. Okay, it's on the outline. Noah, however, found a favor in what again? The sight of God. Let me ask you this. If God is watching you, what are you doing that tells Him you have a strong faith and you're building your faith? Does He see you on your knees? Does He see you in the Word? God wants to bless, but He's looking those people who have a strong faith to bless them. So, if you want to be blessed, if you want to have what God intends for you to have, if you want your children to be blessed, you've got to build a strong faith. And you build a strong faith day by day in spiritual disciplines. Day by day, you learn to trust God. How are you going to trust His promises if you don't know His Word? How are you going to hear His direction in His life if you don't know His voice? Why would God give you a financial blessing if He can't trust you with His money? Why would He? Why would God trust you to carry out His message when you're hanging around with the wrong people? Why would He empower you if the only person you serve is yourself? These are spiritual disciplines. I want to challenge you. This thing of having a strong faith, it's not just saying, well, I believe God. Remember what James said? I love the way James phrased it. He said, you believe in God, you're doing very well. Even the demons believe in God and tremble. Most times in the Bible, when you see the word faith, imagine it's translated faithful. God is looking for faithfulness. Those who do the work of God, those who develop spiritual disciplines in their life, which build their strong faith. And then they can be blessed and they can be a blessing. Friends, that's where God wants you. That's where God has us. That's what God wants to do in our life. I think probably, and it's hard to think back, when Ginger and I were first married somewhat, Ginger, how long ago? 40, how many years ago? 43 years ago. I started to say it, but I was afraid I wasn't right, so I'm not going there. I dare say back then, I was fairly selfish. I still am somewhat selfish. It's part of the curse of sin. But over the course of time, let me tell you what has happened. I get more pleasure out of helping you than I do out of helping myself. I thoroughly enjoy it. I thoroughly enjoy for God to bless someone through me. It excites me. But it wouldn't have excited me before I began to develop spiritual disciplines and a strong faith. I know pastor friends of mine who are pastoring churches that are absolutely miserable because they're not interested in serving, being a blessing. They just want the church to bless them. But God wants to bless you. Now, I am not a prosperity preacher. Will not go there. I don't think the Word teaches it. But I do think that God wants to bless you with the finances to pay the bills that you have and meet your needs and bless your family. I do believe He wants to do that. I believe He wants to give you a good job that you can be in a position to grow, be in a position to bless others. I believe He wants to do things in your life. Does He guarantee us all good health? No, but He guarantees to be with us through the storm. God is enough, isn't He? But it's one thing to say it. It's another to mean it. Amen? I'm going to ask you to stand with me. At the bottom of your outlines, and I'm going to ask Jose if he would put on the PowerPoint and affirmation I worked up. Would you stand with me? You see, sometimes you need to affirm. Sometimes as we say things, we start thinking, well, yeah, maybe that's true. That's why you need to be careful spending too much time with your friends who are telling you other things. I'm gonna take and go through this, and then I'm going to ask you to join me in it. God is enough. He sees all, knows all, is everywhere, and He can do anything. He created me, loves me, guides me, and He provides for me. I will walk with Him, talk to Him, trust Him, and obey Him. God is enough for me. Amen? Would you say it with me? God is enough. He sees all, knows all, is everywhere, and can do anything. He created me, loves me, guides me, and provides for me. I will walk with Him, talk to Him, trust Him, and obey Him. God is enough for me. Amen. I want you to turn to the person next to you and simply say to them, God is enough for me. Would you do that? God is enough for me. Now with that, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads in prayer. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads in prayer. And the reason that we're going to pray, as I have learned, that we never know where people are spiritually. God told Noah to build an ark that it would be the only means of salvation. God has provided one means of salvation for you and I, and that is Christ. We are to turn to Him and trust Him, and in Christ only can we be saved. Now, I don't know where you are spiritually. That's between you and God. But I know that there needs to be a point in your life that you say, I'm going to trust God with my eternal hope, my eternal salvation, and I'm going to trust Him, and I'm going to turn to Christ. And I'm going to ask Christ to come into my heart and come into my life, and I'm going to ask Christ to save me and to change me and to abide with me. And I was just wondering, but before we close this prayer, if there's anyone here that would say, Pastor, I'm uncertain of my relationship with God. I want to know I'm saved. I want to know that heaven is my home. I'm not going to embarrass you, but would you just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Are the others? God bless you. Let's pray together. God bless you. Let's pray together. The Bible teaches us that God hears our prayers. And if you would pray a prayer from your heart in sincerity that is something simply like this, God, I need you. I can't do it myself. I know that Jesus died for me. I know He died on the cross for me. And I turn to Him. And just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And the Bible said, if you ask Him, He will do it. So just there, just pray that simple prayer. And God promises you that He will do it. Father, we know that You are faithful. Help us to trust in Your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.